Welcome to the Faith Homestead Podcast, where we talk to you about God, family, homesteading, frugal living, and all the in-between. We're your hosts, Sarah
and Matt, and we thank you for joining us today. Please take a minute to subscribe, and we hope you stay a while.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Faith Homestead Podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Matt.
And we welcome you today. What are we going to talk about today? Well, we're going to talk about all the buzz that is going on right now on the internet regarding the decrease in egg production that many backyard farmers are experiencing right now. We're going to let you know what we think about that, our opinion, and any recommendations that we have to kind of get your chickens to start laying eggs again. So if you guys could please like, share, comment, subscribe to wherever you're listening today. Again, we welcome you. And so basically, what is going on right now? A lot of people, there's a lot of buzz on social media right now that chicken feed has been tainted. There has been a reduction in the protein that makes up the chicken feed. People aren't getting any eggs and they don't know what to do. People are just freaking out. Of course, with online anything, you can get a lot of differing opinions. People tend to jump on to whatever type of conspiracy bandwagon is happening at the current time. And we're here to tell you that while we do feel that there is a little bit of suspicious things happening, even at our house, we are not going to jump on the conspiracy bandwagon, because we have a couple things that we're going to talk to you about. And it could just be one of those years, guys. Like, there's always a potential that it could just be one of those years. And I know there are a lot of people who have been keeping chickens for 30 plus years that are coming out on social media and saying that they have not gotten eggs since before Halloween. This is completely abnormal. They're expressing where they've gotten their chicken feed, which we're not going to name any names today. It's just inappropriate, we feel. But they are just really, they really believe that there has been a reduction in the protein content, and they're very well may. But we're going to talk about what you can do, because let's be honest, talking about it and complaining about it is not going to fix any problems with our hens. And so we're going to talk about what actions you can take to increase your chicken egg supply if you are like us, having dealt with a reduction in eggs this winter. Now, just a couple things I want to point out before we get into this is how we raise our chickens. And the first is that we do not use any heat or artificial lights in our coop. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do, but do you want to talk about why we don't?
Well, I think the big thing too is that egg production slows down in the wintertime. It's normal.
Yeah.
You know, the eggs... egg production comes from the amount of light that's coming into the bird's eye. Melatonin production in the pituitary gland is stimulated by light. So we expect to see decreased egg production because we're not putting 12 hours of light in the bird's eyes this time mm-hmm. of year. Okay. It's cold. They're staying inside the coop for more of the day. So even when the sun is up, they're not going to get that light directly into their eyes. So I think it's also important to understand, or at least know, that egg production is going to drop this time of year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, this year obviously is worse than previous years, but we expected it to drop.
We did.
Right.
Yeah.
So when that sunlight is absorbed into the pituitary gland, melatonin is created, which then stimulates another hormone that actually gets the egg growth to occur inside of that chicken. When the birds aren't getting that light, we expect to see this. This is why people put the lights inside of the coop, right?
Yeah, which we don't.
You know, it's just one. I think that you look at any type of problems with fires or anything like that with chicken coops, you know, that's the reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's no light, there's no heat, there's nothing into that coop for our birds. It's not something that we're expecting to see any type of fire or anything like that happening, because they don't have that power going into their coop.
Yeah. And something that we think is really important to note is a lot of people have light because it's what they've known their whole life. Their parents, their grandparents, they all kept light in the coop. It's just something that is unnecessary. Even if you live in Canada where it's like free below freezing, you don't need light. And it's hard to take an animal that you care for every single day and be in the warmth of your own house and think about how you have chickens outside that are in a coop, but it's 20 or lower outside. And the first year that we had chickens, I was concerned about it. But now that I've had time to raise chickens, they are really, really able to adapt to the climate, and they have a huge warm coat of feathers, and they're made to be able to handle that. So we feel that God has given them the ability to lay abundantly throughout the spring and summer, and we feel that they are taking their natural rest time during the fall and winter, and so we just encourage them to rest. And yeah, we get annoyed. I mean, especially this year, we had a very long break. We stopped getting eggs before Halloween this year, and we just started picking up again. And some of that is, I feel, because I've been increasing protein and adding things into our layer feed to kind of kickstart the laying again this year, because we are getting through our preserved eggs. And a lot of people right now are really, like I said last week, are very interested in the preservation method of water glassing. So water glassing is when you take clean eggs from your coop that have not been washed, yet they are free from debris, and you then put them in a lime solution with water in a jar, and then they are preserved for up to 2 years. And so we're going through our water glass eggs right now, and we are getting low. So I'm really hoping that our chickens start to produce again soon, because I really don't want to be going to the store to get chicken eggs right now. But so again, back to the whole conspiracy that is all over social media right now regarding laying hens and the feed that we have. So I actually just got back from our local mill, and I want to encourage everybody to start to or continue to buy local. This is a perfect time, especially when everybody is feeling like the feed that they're getting from their local box stores are not performing to the expectations that they have or have in the past. And so we suggest going to a local mill. Most local mills are producing all of their own feed. And even if they're not, because they are a small corporation, they are making sure that they're getting their feed and their other products from a really reputable source, because they're small. If a small mill starts putting out product that isn't quality, people are going to leave. And so they really have a high, reputation to maintain. So we always suggest, supporting local, but this is an instance where really look into what is local around you. And even if you have to drive 20 minutes to a half hour once a month or once every few months, it's really worth it
For the quality of
for the
feed you're going to
quality. Absolutely. I actually just went to my mill. They close early. I mean, mills also most aren't open on Sunday. Ours closes at 3 o'clock on Saturday. And I really wanted to buy black oil sunflower seeds, which I suggest is a great supplement for your birds. I have not used it yet, but I've been doing a ton of research on protein for the laying hen, because we have been having a issue. And I don't believe that our mill's feed has been like corrupted or affected. And so I'm going to continue to support my mill. You have to also think about this, guys. Okay, so people with seasonal affective disorder, abbreviated SAD, have really been feeling it this year. And what seasonal affective disorder is when people are really struggle through the fall and winter months because of that lack of daylight. We just don't have that same amount of time that the sun is shining, that the days are longer with light. And so besides the chickens not laying as much, we have had like 90% overcast days this entire fall and winter. I mean, honestly, think about it. When was the last time the sun shined? I mean, we had some sun today. I was like grateful. I woke up this morning. I was like, oh my goodness, the sun, it's actually shining. So let's take all these things in consideration. We've had a very, very cloudy, overcast winter. So egg production is just down. And also, I think a lot of people need to take in consideration, what is the age of your chickens? Because as chickens age, they decrease their egg production. So, of course, if you just got your eggs, your chickens last year, and they had an amazing summer, fall, and winter, and now this year you're just not getting as many eggs, that's also something to take in consideration. So, what can you do? What can you do to increase the protein? What I suggest is, of course, going to your local mill, buying things when they're, at their cheapest. Of course, right now, black sunflower seed is not cheap. I spent $29 for 50 pounds, but it's not something that you're not giving like a ton with your feeds, just a kind of like a supplement. So that will last us probably with our few chickens, probably almost the whole summer. Something that you can also do, if you go to a local Walmart or a local grocery store and they have dry beans and dry like lentils and peas on clearance, buy them up. You can add all kinds of things to your feed over the summer and over the winter and over all throughout the seasons. Things like flaxseed and brewer's yeast and rye and barley, sesame seeds, but they are kind of expensive. That's probably not something I would, use too much. But if you can get it on a discount, even if it's expired, it's really not. Chickens can totally have that. None of these things that I'm listing really have like an expiration date. Barley, millet, corn. In the winter, whole corn is better because it takes longer for the bird to digest, so it keeps them warmer longer. In the summer and spring, you can still use whole corn, but when it gets up there in temps upwards of like 100 degrees, you don't want to give them too much corn. So cracked corn is definitely better in the warmer months because it's smaller and it's easier to digest by the chickens. Pretty much that's it. Also, you want to increase your scraps. Do you want to talk about our scrap, how we do our chicken bin and all that?
So yeah, we have a bowl that we keep around the kitchen, right? So every time food's done cooking, it used to be what can the dog have throughout stuff, this, that, and the other. And now we're collecting and taking it out to the birds. And it's a great way to be able to increase that protein content.
Yeah, nutrients, all that. Yeah, it really is, especially because we're moving towards a zero waste household, especially with like leftovers and scraps. But here's the fact of the matter. If you're going to cut a bell pepper, there's going to be some flesh and seeds in that bell pepper that you're just not going to use. And most people toss it. The chickens, that is such high nutrients for the chickens.
Right.
Things like, bell pepper,
Even hot peppers.
oh
Chickens
yeah.
will go to town on hot pepper.
Yeah, that's and a lot of people don't feed their chickens spicy foods because they're like, oh, it's so spicy, it's gonna hurt them. They actually don't have the receptors in their body to understand
Or taste
or taste
spiciness,
or
yeah.
feel that it's spicy. So it's really good for them. So that's different things that you can get that you can give. But yeah, so if you have any questions about that aspect of what we've talked about today, please comment. I mean, I know my Facebook is really, you guys are really interested in this on my Facebook feed. And so if you're not on my Facebook, it's at Faith Homestead. And that's on all social media. It's at Faith Homestead on YouTube, on TikTok, Instagram, all the social medias. Please follow, and you guys will get, I update all the time about what's going on with our chickens and things like that. I post blog posts on my website, which is faithhomestead.com. But Matt had an idea today, and we're going to start implementing that. And he is now going to call this segment
Self-Reliant Sunday.
Self-Reliant Sunday. So we post this usually on Sunday. Sometimes we get a little sidetracked and it doesn't get uploaded to YouTube till Monday morning, but our goal is Sunday. So we are going to start Self-Reliant Sundays. And can you explain what that's going to be for our viewers?
Yeah, so in the beginning of this, we talked about the idea of, getting outside of our comfort zones, getting more self-reliant, more preparedness built into life so that the stressors that come in life aren't as stressful because we're prepared for them. And I thought it'd be interesting to talk about that from a standpoint of what do we do on a weekly basis that
So much.
potentially has an effect on whether we're actually prepared for stuff or not. And we've talked and I joke all the time about, the idea of preppers and, they think, zombies or, all kinds of goofy stuff. And really, I think self-reliance is and preparedness comes down to I'm not going to be prepared for an army of zombies. I
No.
don't think it's necessary to. If we reach that stage, you know, hopefully the Lord's already been here and gone. So,
Yeah, exactly.
I think that really being prepared for problems that can occur on a daily basis is something that's more important.
Yeah. So what's your self-reliant Sunday? What are you going to
So
talk about?
something that did this week, which having something in the car as a preparedness kit, if you will. I mean, it used to just be, you know, my parents or grandparents would, you know, have jumper cables in the car or have a flashlight in the car,
Yeah, you
right?
should
And
definitely have those things.
that's stuff that, you know, it should be in your car. There shouldn't be any question about that. You should have stuff in your car that if you have a roadside emergency, you're able to handle it. Okay, because you may be on a thoroughfare where there's lots of people and somebody might stop and help you if you ran into an issue. If you are not, what's the plan of action, right? So, you know, some simple things that we do, like taking the kids' coats, even though it's not necessarily overly cold outside during those, you know, spring or fall months, taking their coats with us because if we do break down and the car is not running, they might need a coat. So we have it in the car. One thing that I have in my car this week, I actually have a couple pairs of them, but I have some strap-on traction devices. Put them over your regular shoes and adds a little bit of traction on icy surfaces.
You want to let them know what brand
So
that is in case they want to order it?
yeah, this one here is it's a company called Yak Tracks,
We'll link it in the comments.
and these are really great because they have a coiled system instead of spikes on them, where especially in certain areas and certain parks, you're not allowed to have traction devices that are going to tear stuff up. But these are core metal coils that are actually over the shoe itself. And so strap it over your shoe, you've now got a traction device. I keep a set of these in the trunk of my car, simply because if I blow a tire out, I'm on the side of the road and off the side of the road is all ice. Like, I want to have the ability. If I need to get out of a certain situation and I need to have traction on my shoes, I've got it. Takes up no room in a bag in the back of my car. And it's something that I don't even think about it now. You know, it's there. I have it. You know, I have a second set here in the house. And that's more so if I know I'm going somewhere, if I'm going to be going out hunting and I know traction might be an issue, I'm going to have those in my bag with me before I leave the house.
Yeah, so we're gonna link, just so you guys know, we now have an Amazon storefront. So we might not link this exact brand. We want you guys to get the best deal possible. So we're gonna do some research and find the best brand and the best price. 'Cause you guys know us, this was actually this exact pair was gifted to us. Matt has other pairs that he bought, but we're going to make sure that we link in the storefront the pair that is going to be the most cost effective for you and that's actually going to do the job. So you guys will be able to, when you guys are watching this video, you guys will be able to see my Amazon storefront, and you guys can go on there and just shop like you would normally shop. And it we're gonna be very transparent. Like, we get a kickback, and that's gonna help us keep bringing these videos to you. And so we really do appreciate your support. Another thing that I am obsessed with, and it's actually really funny because if you guys know me personally and you know the pastor at our church, John Stangy. He posted on Facebook, I don't know, probably a week ago, that he had officially reached a certain level of dad, because he bought this item. And I immediately jumped on his status and I was like, wait, it's not just a dad thing. I did buy these for every male in our life for Christmas this year because they were like $10 where I got them. But they were on sale because it was a Christmas like special, like doorbuster. But I am actually the one who likes it, I think, more than Matt.
For
So
sure.
I obviously like to have things all organized. And so I got this thing. It's called, I don't know what brand this is Battery Daddy. Again, I will link one. They're all the same. It doesn't matter what brand you get. I'm gonna link one in the comments, probably the cheapest one because that's just how I roll. I only bought this one because it was a doorbuster around Christmas, but if you guys look at your sale ads, this whole thing was furnished for like under $10. Because I only buy batteries when they are on sale. And the store where we live is ShopRite, and they had a like dollar battery sale. They're actually having it again tomorrow, and I'm gonna go get they have but they had the battery sale that they had was for AA and AAA. And so I stocked up and filled this thing with like dollar giant packs of dollar batteries, but they're having a sale tomorrow on like specialty batteries. So like all the weird ones, like C, D, I mean, I don't even know. Like what are the square ones? The 9 volts. I don't even know what they're called. 9 volts. So I'm going to go get some more of those tomorrow, but this is perfect. So this is a prepper thing. This is a preparation thing, but look, you have an issue with
the one nice thing that this does have. On the front here, there's actually a battery tester in there. So, well, I think this is a little bit ridiculous.
It's not.
It has a battery tester in it, which I go to the bin of batteries.
Yeah.
And there's 150 batteries laying in a bin. Yeah. I just grab out what I'm looking for and I go. At least this way they're organized, but also we can test them.
Yeah, and we're apologizing if you guys are getting motion sickness right now with the video. We are still working. Obviously, we're in a different location. We are working really hard to try to figure out the best location for these podcasts and YouTube videos. Some of you are listening to us on podcasts. You're not actually getting motion sickness. But if you are watching us on YouTube, the table's shaking. We're doing our best, guys. We're trying. Like, we're literally trying. So just bear with us. But anyway, this is a great prepper item. You don't even have to be like a full-blown prepper. Like, it's just great. Like, you need a battery. You go to one location in your house and you grab your battery. Like, it's a little OCD, but that's okay. I mean, would you rather have it in a giant like pile or in a junk drawer? No, I'd rather have it here. So you'll be able to find this linked in the comments. It's probably not going to be Battery Daddy. It'll be the cheapest one I can find that does a job. So you can always rely on us to provide you the most inexpensive items that we're going to show you on this show, because I feel like it would be stealing money from you guys if you guys bought the most expensive version. So it will be more expensive if it is a better version, though. So just bear with me with that. But so that is our Self-Reliant Sunday segment, and you will be able to see those every Sunday. And is there anything else you wanted to add today?
No, I think that, like I said, it's important that we have the conversations. And I think as viewers get engaged with this as well, it also can help. So yeah. If you have some stuff that you like to do from a preparedness standpoint each week,
tell us.
Comment in the links below or the comment section below. But you know, we'll have a dialogue about what's working.
Yeah, and we'll bring your stuff up. Yeah.
The content with everybody here so that we build a community of preparedness.
Like-minded people. And if you have something that you want us to talk about, let us know and we will bring it up. And if you want credit, we'll even bring your name up. So just be like, yeah, like, you know, I have this comment and we will talk about you in the next episode. We're really interested in helping you, but we can only help you if you tell us what you want. So if you are on the East Coast, maybe not even the East Coast, go Eagles and have a great Sunday. Take care.